Wow, welcome everyone.
欢迎大家来今天的演讲。
I know the Buddha did not have technical difficulties with his computer.
我知道佛陀不会有这种技术性的问题。
I don't know that for a fact, but it seems reasonable.
这是我想象的，不过那个应该是比较
okay.
请的同事比较合理。
So, fine, down arrow. Oh, there we go. Okay. So, as a preamble to the talk, I'm showing a picture of the Pure Land, which is where we all are, whether we know it or not. See, that's Jingtu, right? There it is. There's the Jingtu. And here's a picture of all of us. We're all Buddhas, right? So, I want everyone to remember that.
在讲座前，我想先给大家看两幅画。第一幅画是净土，那我们现在就是在净土。第二幅画是诸佛菩萨这样一个画面。我们这边每一位都是未来的诸佛菩萨。
Okay, so today I'm going to talk about the essential topics of mind and consciousness. They seem to be abstract.But they are really very intimate concerning who, what, why, and how we are. They comprise the world we live in and how we relate to it. Unfortunately, as concepts, they can be very vague and confusing. In Chan, we talk about true mind, but we cannot define it, no matter how much we might wish to. The Tibetans say that trying to describe true mind,is like trying to capture all of the stars and the planets by fishing out their reflections in a lake using a sieve, right? That's true mind.
今天我们的主题是讲心与意识。那这听上去是很抽象的一个话题，但其实上是跟我们的是跟我们是谁，我们在做什么，我们为什么会今天这样，是紧密相关的。那它所包含的是整个世界，我们所居住的整个世界，以及我们是如何跟这个世界来互动的。不幸的是，作为概念来讲，它非常的模糊，所以我们今天在讨论真心的时候，我们今天在讨论，当我们在说讨论禅，在讨论真心的时候，我们是没有一个定义的，或者说，不管我们如何的希望它会有一个定义，其实真心是没有定义的。就像藏传的说法是，当我们在试图来描述真心的时候，就像我们试图水在那个以一个筛子在水中去捞起我们所在水中所看到的所有的星星月亮，就像水中捞月这样一个状况。
Or is true mind in the flower that the Buddha held up in his discourse? Only his great disciple Mahakashapa understood the meaning.
那是不是说真心就是我们在拈花微笑里边的所说的那个典故里边那一朵花，只有大迦摄尊者可以理解这样的含义呢？
Just because we can't encompass true minds with words doesn't mean that we can't work with it and come to know it.
尽管我们无法用语言来描述真心，但这并不表明我们没有办法来理解它，并且来认知它。
So Master Sheng Yan, actually it's in Footprints of the Ox, conveys the story of Yangshang Wei Ji, a disciple of Master Guishan Ling Yu. Yangshan asked Guishan, "If everything appeared before you, what would you do?" The master replied, "Green is not yellow, long is not short."
圣严法师在《牛的印记》这本书里提到，仰山慧寂禅师跟他的弟子龟山灵佑禅师的，应该是倒过来那个一段对话，提到说是百千万境一时来做么生，那个就是龟山问仰山的，那仰山回答说是青不是黄，长不是短。诸法各住自位，非干我事。这是一个那个禅宗的公案。
So here is green and yellow. You see, one is not the other, and long is not short. Very different. But then Guishan continues, each thing abides in its own place. It has nothing to do with me. So there's the 10,000 things.
那龟山就回答说是轻不是黄，长不是短，诸法各住自位，非干我事。
So for Master Guishan, things are just as they are. He can interact with anything he chooses without vexation. Here is someone with true clarity. He does not mistake green for yellow, or long for short. He does not try to reorder the world to suit his own purposes. Everything is as it should be.
对龟山禅师来说，所有的事情就是各住自位，就是这样的。他对跟所有的世间一切事物互动的时候，不会有任何的烦恼，那个才是我们所谓的清楚明了。而并不是说他不会错误的去把绿色当成黄色，或者去把长的当成短的。 他不会就是对这个世界的记录是根据他自己的理解来做这样的一个对世界来做一个认知，所有的东西都是各住法，就所谓的法住法位在他们自己的位置上。What
about the rest of us? To me, the question of what would you do if everything appeared before you strikes home. Today, it does feel like we are bombarded by the world and its demands. Unlike Guishan, we tend to be dissatisfied and would very much like to reorder the world according to our own wishes. Or maybe we just like to make the world go away and assuage our fears.
那我们这些普通大众是怎么样来对待我们的身边的一切万境的呢？对我来说，那个问题是在于，当所有的情境出现的时候， 我们每一个人是怎么样来处理它的？是罢工回家呢，还是怎样？那今天我们是被所有的这个世界所围绕，他们的需求，他们的一切的认知，并不像龟山禅师，我们会觉得对世间的很多现象会觉得不满意，或者说是试图改变这个世界，根据我们自己的意愿来改变这个世界。我们会希望。 整个世界是跟着我们的需求所来运转的，这样来减轻我们对世间万境的恐惧。Recognizing
this is to recognize dukkha, suffering, stress, dissatisfaction, imperfection. In other words, the first noble truth. And that is why we're here.
能够认知到这一些，其实就是可以认知到佛教所说的所谓的苦。 所谓的压力、不满以及不完美，或者说这就是四圣地里边的第一个圣地，什么是苦？这也是我们之所以会在这里学习。So
how do we tackle this problem of suffering?
那如何来解决苦这个问题呢？
So, Qingyuan Weishen once spoke to a disciple. This is a very famous quote. 30 years ago, before this old man investigated Chan, I saw a mountain and it was a mountain. I saw a river and it was a river. Sometime later, I found a dear friend who helped me and there was an entry point. Then I saw a mountain and it wasn't a mountain. And I saw a river and it wasn't a river. All disappeared. As of now, I have found a resting place. And as before, now when I see a mountain, it's nothing more than a mountain. When I see a river, it's nothing more than a river. Back to where we started from.
清源维信禅师曾对他的门人说：“老僧30年前未参禅时，见山是山，见水是水；及其后来亲见之时，有个入处，见山不是山，见水不是水；而今得个修歇处，依前见山只是山，见水只是水。”
This is another example of a master with clear insight and vision. He sees the world just as it is. The world hasn't gone away, but his suffering has.
这是另一位禅师的 一个典范，他有非常清晰的了知，对世界有非常清晰的认知，他看待这个世界就是应该是怎样就是怎样的，世界并没有因此而消失，但他的苦恼他的烦恼已经完全消失了。
To reach this point, he had to go through a process of disassociating with the world before he could finally rest in it. That first process is a deep encounter with the way the deluded mind encounters the world.
要达到这样的境界，首先要经历一个过程，就是出离世间的过程，那最后才可以在这世间安住。那这样一个过程其实是深入观察我们的虚妄心是如何应对这世间一切的。
We see objects and instantly recognize them, and then don't give them a second thought. But consider what is involved in seeing a mountain. The eye organ has to encounter a form. In this case, the mountain and sense consciousness has to arise, and a feeling about what is seen will arise in conjunction with that consciousness. That feeling will be either pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral.And those sensations, together with the optical data, will react according to a karmic consciousness predisposition and bring about other feelings, associations, and memories. At this point, there is a subject and object duality that is unquestioned in us. The mountain and river in your mind is more real than the mountain and river you're gazing at, or so you think.There is quite a bit of complexity in just seeing a mountain, or anything for that matter, just using our ordinary perception.
那我们一般在看待现象、看待事物的时候，是马上就去认知它，而不会有第二个想法。特别是当我们在看一座山的时候，当我们的眼根接触到这样一个色相，是看到这座山，然后是我们的感官感受的意识会升起，会有一种感觉，跟这个意识感跟这个受的意识所相关的一种感受的形成。那个感受它可以是快乐的，或是不快乐的，或是中性的。那这一些感受的现象又去连接我们业力在我们意识中所形成的这一些感受以及记忆，那在这个时候就有一个主体跟一个客体的存在。那山，无论是山水，在这个时候在我们心里的时候，在我们内心的那个山和水已经要比外在这个山和水要更加真实。所以这个其实是说，就是当我们看到山看到水的时候，我们已经用我们平常人的一个意识心态已经在重新解读过了。
But Qing Yuan was able to disassociate and detach from ordinary perception and thinking. He found an entry point. With deep concentration and wisdom, Qing Yuan was no longer a slave to his former conscious behavior. Why should the heaping stone structure before him be called a mountain? Look at the picture.Doesn't say mountain or shan. There's no sound coming from it. Nothing to identify. Just optical data. What relationship was there between what he saw and the word and these words? What would constitute a river to him? He achieved his breakthrough insight after much study and long years of practice.
但我们这里我们可以看到清源禅师就是有方法有办法，就是从我们平常人的这一些认知跟想法中脱离出来。他是找到一个切入点，在甚深的定和慧之中，清源禅师不再是他过去业力行为的奴隶。比如说我们今天看这一幅画，画里有山有水，那这个堆积的石头在他面前是不是就是山？我们通常是用一个山这个名词来定义一个现象。那这个我们所看到的这幅图画跟所谓的山这个字又是什么关系？ 那水又是什么？它当它就是达到，当它可以突破这一个层面的障碍的时候，那已经是很多年的修学跟长时间的修行。
So later, when he no longer needed to disassociate from his former state of mind, and he had developed pure, non-dual, non-self-oriented awareness, there was nothing to separate him from the mountain or the river that ordinary sentient beings saw. But he no longer had this sense of self that would grasp onto the fabrications of his mind.
之后他就不会再需要再去出离，或者说从他之前的平常人的心态里边做一个出离，他可以即使在所有的现象当中保持他自己的清净，超越对立的，是无我的一种认知。那在这个时候，他就不需要再去从千万种境界当中隔离，他可以即使是在普通人的现象当中，他不再有，他是以一种无我的态度来看待这些事物的。
So everything we do, think, or say is affected by consciousness, which in turn affects and conditions our next round of feelings, perceptions, decisions, and what we pick and choose to be aware of. And what would ultimately be put into effect in body, speech, and mind.
我们所想，我们所做，我们所说，其实都是在受到意识的影响，此后又会影响到我们的感受，我们进一步的思维，随后做各种决定，我们会从中来选择我们的身口意的行为。
Okay, so let's examine the way in which our conscious mind interacts with the world.
现在让我们来看一下我们的意识心是如何跟这个世间来互动的。
Okay, so if you look at this first picture, this is a famous painting by the Belgian artist René Magritte. So it certainly looks like a pipe, a smoking pipe, right? And what does it say? But in French it says, ceci n'est pas une pipe. In other words, this is not a pipe. So there's a...drawing of a pipe that says it's not a pipe. The artist plays with our perceptions. But is he really playing? After all, you can't pick up this pipe and smoke it. Yet it is eerily real, even as a representation. We are more conditioned by the picture that tells us it is a pipe than the words which tell us it is not a pipe.
所以先让我们来看这第一幅画。这个看上去就像一个抽烟管，那但是在这幅画上，你们可以看到这个用法语写的，他说这个不是烟管。那这位艺术家他叫 René Magritte， 其实就是在跟我们的意识来做一个游戏。那他在做什么样的游戏呢？你看这个是不是画上这一幅画是不是一个烟管，你可以拿起来抽烟，就是这个看上去是非常诡异的，就是真实，可是它只是一个代表，所以我们是会被这个图画所控制，那以为这个就是一个烟管，我们可以是用来抽的，可是尽管这个就是清晰的写的，在这幅画上清晰写的，这个不是烟管。
Okay, so now I'm just going to show you another picture. I have no idea what this is a picture of, right? See the question marks, right? This is before labeling and perception. What could that possibly be? If it were what you really think it, if you were what you really think that is, well, this whole monitor and the table would fall down. It couldn't support the weight.So let's look a little further and identify this accurately. It's what we're really here for, right? Trying to clarify our perception of things. So looking into my dictionary of mental conditioning, I look at it and I say, aha, It's a chipmunk. Right? All right, so you wouldn't think it was this funny if you didn't speak a language, if you didn't speak either Chinese or the English. You know, if somebody says that this is a chipmunk, you would believe it's a chipmunk. You could easily convince someone of that. And then so there's the elephant, right? Now, notice this particular this particular creature is actually bigger in the picture anyway than the one you saw before it, right? But nobody's fooled. Nobody would care if a chipmunk lands on them, but you would care very much if an elephant lands on you.
So, 我们现在先看前面。 所以现在这幅画上，大家看到有，就是一个，他并没有写这是什么，只是打了三个问号，只是一幅画而已。那一般人的认知就会认为这是一个大象，但如果今天真的是一个大象坐在这边，这里早就瘫掉了。所以现在就是，当标上这幅画写的是花栗鼠，但是如果说你认识中文或者英文的人，就会觉得这是非常就是。 就是有问题的，因为这个画跟那个名词是不一样的。再看这一幅，它的标记是说是 elephant， 是一个大象。那如果说你对动物有认知，你会就和对语言有连接的时候，就会觉得这也是一个很荒谬的现象。可是其实如果只是从画的角度来看，这个画栗鼠的画其实要比那个大象要来的大。 可是，在我们的认知里面，我们绝对不会这样来认知。这里就是要指出，我们的认知其实是被这些语言现象所限制的。Okay,
so one important thing about how our conscious mind works, our deluded conscious mind, is that it either adds or subtracts something from reality.
所以，非常重要的一点，我们这里想指出的就是通过意识。 在我们的认知现实的时候，其实我们都在加或者减一些东西，而并非它真实的一个现象。Okay,
now this is an exercise that you're all going to do. So everyone has to listen carefully, right? And, I'll say the list of words, and then you will go right after me. So you have to try and remember. What I'm saying, right? Just a list of about 10-12 words. This is an exercise that was developed by a psychologist named David Schachter. And so listen to these words. Candy, sour, sugar, bitter, good, taste, tooth, nice, honey, soda, chocolate, heart, cake, eat, pie, cloth, lollipop.
好，现在让我们来做个游戏啊，就是我会，这是一个心理学家Daniel Schachter 所做的一个游戏。那我们现在来，我会念一组名词，那你们仔细听，要记住我念的每一个词。 糖，酸的，第一个是糖果，酸的，糖，苦的，好的，滋味，牙齿，好看，蜂蜜，苏打水，巧克力，心，蛋糕，吃，派。
Okay, now I'm going to mention three words, and so everyone who thinks that one of these words was in the list, raise your hand. All right, so ready? And you can say it right after. So the first word is taste.
现在就是 我来说一组词，那你们听听一下，这个词是不是在我之前所读的那一些词语里面？说第一个字是滋味。
So, and when, all right, few people heard the word taste. Sweet. Anyone hear the word sweet?
甜的。
Okay. And shoe.
鞋子。
No shoe. All right. All right. So, here's the thing. I don't know what actually was going on in your minds, but most people, when they hear that list and you hear the word sweet, they raise their hands. But the word sweet was not there, right? The concept arises in the mind because of all these desserts. And I've loaded the dice, so to speak, even more with a picture here of all the candy and the lollipop. So this accords with the way deluded thoughts arise in the mind and causes and conditions. So Buddhism recognizes three pairs of signs with all phenomena. There is a universal and a particular, unity and diversity, and formation and disintegration. And we're not generally aware of all of these associations, but they loom largely in our mind, in our unconscious mind. So lacking the requisite mindfulness, we conceive categories and impressions that exist only in our minds and nowhere else. So this is an example of how the mind can add something to reality.
所以刚才在那组词里边其实没有甜的这个词，可是因为我们讲了很多的甜点的名字，所以大家就自然而然的会联系到甜这个词。那这就是其实在指出我们的意识是其实是被误导的。那它同时也可以看到，其实我们这一些虚妄的想法是跟因缘因果是相连接的。佛法中就提到，所有现象其实都是以三种组合来表现，有它的普遍性，有它的独特性、统一性和多样性，它是可以合成，也可以分解。那我们通常其实是不太了解这种组合的，缺乏这样的认知，缺乏这样的正念，我们经常会去做一些辨别。或去归类是根据我们自己内心所有的这一些就是习性来做决定的。
Okay, now, here is a demonstration of how our deluded minds can remove something from the situation. So, let me explain what's going on in these pictures. So, this actually took place on the campus of Cornell University.So here is somebody in this first picture who is going up to the man with the long white hair and asking for directions. Now, in the second picture, two men have interceded between them. Just, you know, they had some chores to do and they're carrying this big poster. And they come between the two people. But what happens, they rehearse this really well,the person who is asking the direction, this guy right here, he starts carrying the sign, and the guy who behind, who is in the back carrying it, changes places. So now, this man here is talking to a completely different person, right? But who's continuing the conversation, right? And then, as you see, here are the two men who, I mean, they don't look,like, it's not like night and day, but they're obviously not the same. Their height is different. Their voices are different. They're dressed slightly differently. So this is what's called change blindness. So reality changed right there. I mean, this doesn't happen too ordinarily in our lives, but sometimes things change very quickly. And the person, and he's one of many, just didn't notice it, just went on as if nothing had happened.
这里我们想给一个例子，是在Cornell 大学曾经做的一个这样的一个实验，就是在第一幅画上，你可以看到有一位年轻人问一位就是长发的先生，就是这个路是怎么走，那个再给他解释。那发第二张图就是在这个同时，有两个人就提着这个 一张就是广告牌，所以三个人就这样走过去。在第三张图的时候，其实又有一个人在问他这个路怎么走，可是这个人已经不再是之前那个人，就已经是另外一个人了。可是那位老先生就是不会有这样的认识，他认为还是同样一个人。所以第四幅图就是就把这两位就是同样在问方向的这两个人就放在一起，他们其实他们的高度和他们长相是完全不一样的。那这里就是在心理学里边所讲的变化盲视，就是他当我们的心就是不是很清楚到底发生了什么事情，但其实有很多变化我们是没有认识到。
So there are many many examples and psychologicalexperiments like this that show how skewed our perceptions are and the resulting reality they construct.
所以其实在心理学上有很多这样的实验，这样例子来说明我们对世间的认知是多么扭曲，我们自己所内心所组成这个世界是已经不再是一个真实的世界。
So once again, sense data comes into our minds. Sometimes we don't see some of it, and other times we just are adding things that were never there in the first place.
所以再说一遍，这就很重要的一点就是，当现象进入我们的思维，进入我们的头脑的时候，我们是就不自觉的就已经是在加减现象。
All right. So extrapolate from all this complexity that we have to deal with in our lives, right?And our interactions with form, sensation, perception, mental formations, and consciousness, and the feeling that everything is appearing before us at once, you can understand the bunny-like character in this. See? This is what most of us are like. The creature, whatever it is, on the right. Notice, you know, the first one says, what the hell is that? And the second one says, oh, it's just my mind.
所以从这样的一个，我们可以从这种那样一个复杂的那一种互动啊，就是从色相到感受到认知到就是十二因缘所讲的所谓的触受爱取有这样的一个认知，当它就这样是非常复杂的一个组合，当它突然之间出现在我们所有的都表现在我们面前的时候，就不难理解为什么会有动画片里边会有这样的一张图像，就是两个像那个兔子一样的人在对话。
All right. So it's for this reason that consciousness is often portrayed as a monkey jumping around a tree.
也正是因为这样的原因，我们就是会把意识比喻成猴子，我们的心就像猴子的心。
So our minds are continually seeking pleasure, relief from anxiety, and seeking safety. But the world is never always filled with pleasure, nor is it ever entirely devoid of anxiety and danger.
由于对这世间错误的认知，所以我们通常是被欲望、恐惧和疑惑所困扰的。我们的心不断的都是在寻求快乐，希望从焦虑中得到疏解，或者说是找到安全。可这个世间从来不会一直是快乐的，不过它也不会一直是焦虑或者危险。
So see, this monkey doesn't really care about all those things. The only thing this monkey cares about is filling its belly.
就像这幅画上这个猴子，它不会去想了解到底发生了什么事情，所有他想的只是如何让摘到果子，让他自己不要饿。
So in short, what we do is we cling and we crave, and this is a list of some of the most basic things that we cling to: sensual pleasure, our false views, our take on the world. Rites and rituals doesn't just mean ceremonies, but it means patterns that we have, the way that we have little pet habits in doing things and ways of seeing things. And then, of course, the the big deal in Buddhism and in our lives is our clinging to a doctrine and a sense of self, thinking that whatever we think we are, we think of it as permanent, separate, and never changing.
也就因为这样的原因，所以我们就可以看到我们自己的很多的执取。那这里我们列了主要的四个方面，首先是对感官的快乐的需求，其实是对就是邪见，不错误的认知这样一个执取。第三个这里是讲到是所谓的仪式，可是我所谓的 ritual 是指是形式仪式，那这里主要是讲我们所习惯的一种行为模式。最后一点是对自我的这个执着，就认为有一个永恒不变的我的存在，这是我们最大的一些错误认知和执着。
Okay, and so all of this stems from ignorance, and I am actually going to show you ignorance, first time ever. You're going to see what ignorance looks like, even though it seems so amorphous. So first, oh, everything is awful. Oh, things are good. They're awful again. They're good.They're awful, they're good, they're awful, good, they're awful. That's it. This is ignorance at work. We're continually reacting negatively and positively as we go through the world, and we're not understanding that the circumstances are changing in a certain way that we can't affect, but we don't know that, and we become either miserable like this or very happy, butThis doesn't last, and that doesn't last either. So this is us, back and forth, back and forth.
刚才
I'm leaving on a smile.
刚才讲的四点，这样的执着其实都是基于我们基于无明的存在。那所谓的无明，我这里想举一个例子，就是从刚才的图像上就看到，在某种情况下我们会快乐，在某种情况下我们会苦恼。那我们就一直是在苦恼和快乐的交替中所生活的，而其实在这个过程当中，我们就是忽略了这个世间一切现象的无常性，而去执着于一个内心想需要的一个境界，而这样的一种执着，从根本来讲都是基于有一个自我的存在，而真实的自我其实它除了心，它并没有实质的东西所在。我们之所以会被这一些环境的变化所影响，其实就是因为我们对这个认知，我们的认知对世间的认知是有问题，对自我的认知是错误。
Okay, so and what are we of the many things we're ignorant? What is really primary? It is impermanence.And as you can see, that this is a still photo, right? But you know, in terms of your understanding of reality, that this can't stay the way it is, the actual scene. The water line there is not going to be stuck there as if it's like a line drawn in the sand. It's continually moving. It's coming in and it's receding, coming in and it's receding. And those footprints, which happened...Sometime before that will not last. Everything is impermanent.
那这个根本的认知错误是对无常没有一个正确的认识。就像这幅画上，我们看到这是一幅画，当然是固定不动的。可是，在真实的情况下，海水冲浪，这个沙滩上的脚印绝对不会长留。可是，我们就会认为，这幅画。会是永固不变的。
Okay, and the other thing of which we're ignorant, of course, is the true nature of self. So, what are we always doing? We're doing this. We're self-making all the time. We're creating the world in our own image. Hard to know which one is real, right?
另外一个就是对。自我的一个认知，我们是不断的是在自我的做一个化妆。那这幅画上就很明显的，我们对世间的认知其实就是就自己在给自己做不断的装饰，来做一个认为是这样的一种 一种过程。
So where is the true self? Here's Magritte again. Is it in what we see? Is it in what we don't see?
那真实的自我又是什么？这是我们所看到的，还是我们所没有看到的？
Okay. So, and then with all of this change, all of this preoccupation with ourself, we are startled. See what happened to this chick has realized the world has changed dramatically. He's out in the world. And for us, situations are changing all the time. We're always coming out of the eggshell of the last situation as newborn chicks, metaphorically speaking. So things are continually changing, and it's hard for us to deal with these changes. We're often startled and either frightened or overly excited.
那面对世间无常的现象，我们就像这幅图上所表示的那个刚刚从蛋壳里突破的小鸡，就是对世间一切的认知都是非常的震惊。那我们是经常是处在这样的一种情况下，因为环境不断的在变，而我们的认知就一直是像新生的小鸡一样，一直在不断的变化。
So we come up with wrong views basically, and here is the cartoon where these two characters are lying on a roof, and one says, "Life is a bowl of cherries." Now I don't know about in the Chinese community, but this is a very common expression in the English-speaking world, meaning that everything is just wonderful all the time. Life is just a bowl of cherries. And so his dog friend says, "Well, why do you say that?" And he says, "I hate cherries." Right? So he's taken this expression and turned it, upside down on its head. Right? What other people see is wonderful, he's seeing is awful.
所以这里就是我想指出的一点，就是我们对世界的认识其实是颠倒的。那什么叫颠倒？就如这个卡通里边所讲的，就是在西方社会，这个生命就像一碗樱桃，这是一个比喻，说人生是非常美丽的。可是真的是这样吗？那第二幅画就说，那为什么这样说？那另外一个就是说，因为我很讨厌樱桃，也就是说他的认知其实跟那个事实是完全颠倒的。
Okay, so now that we've had a brief look at our issues of perception and ignorance, let's look more closely at consciousness itself. So there are a few more fun cartoons, but we've gone through that phase. Consciousness itself, which if it's not the orchestrator of our suffering, it is at the very least the orchestra that plays the music that we dance to.
所以我们刚才有讨论一下无明，那我们现在再来看一下什么是所谓的意识。那在所以这个意识，这个自己，就是它不是我们苦恼的所以它意识其实是
You can just say it's consciousness.
这个就是意识是非常重要，就是它所苦恼的这样的一个组合，其实是因为我们被这个音乐所转，我们是跟着音乐起舞，这是苦恼的来源。
Okay, so let's look at the variety of contexts in which consciousness is used, and see if we can understand why it's important, what its real nature is. So when we use consciousness in the West, the understanding of it changes according to whether we are talking about philosophy, psychology, or science, especially biology, physics, and neuroscience.
首先让我们来看一下意识在不同 不同的领域里边的定义。在西方社会对意识的定义有在心理学上的定义，有哲学上的定义，以及科学上的定义。科学上的定义又包括生理学以及物理学，还有是神经学的这一些定义。
So, philosophers have written about the world and our perceptions for centuries, but it was René Descartes, there he is, who posed an understanding of consciousness that probably aligns with the view of most of us, most ordinary sentient beings. This is called a Cartesian theater. That wasn't Descartes' term, but that's how it's known, where we live in a very dualistic world and where consciousness and perception are one and the same. As if there were a little person, and that little green thing is Descartes considered was the pineal gland, that was functioning behind our eyes, so to speak. We look at this world, and in Descartes' view, what we see is exactly what is out there. Right? It's just we're in this theater, and we're perfectly conscious of the world as it is.
所以，像那个哲学家勒内笛卡尔就曾经写过有关于这个世间以及我们如何认识它的这样一些很多著作。他就谈到说，那个叫什么卡迪尔。戏院这样一个理论里边，就是二元世界的认知是统一的，是一个。那其实从这个画上你就可以看到，这个绿色的那个一个小方块，其实就在讲说，其实对世间的认知都是内心对内心的很多事物的判断。它其实在认知跟
Yeah, it's just everything's all systems unified. That's cohesion.
就是对世间的认为，他是认为是合一的，其实是不同的。
All right, but psychologists try to look deeper. So, Sigmund Freud made a map of the human mind as he understood it. As a doctor.He was interested in pathology, and he looked into the issues of repression that were in the realms of sex and death drives, forces that the conscious mind could not deal with. He was more concerned with the functioning of the unconscious mind than the conscious mind. He described the human psyche in terms of id, ego, and superego. Once again, this is just a very simple map. Obviously, his theory is quite complex, but he was not particularly interested in explaining the nature of consciousness or what it means to be conscious.
那心理学家也试图做进一步的认知。西格蒙特·弗洛伊达曾经做过一个就是人的头脑的这样一个如何来理解，依据他的理解来做一个人心的一个地图。那作为一个医生，他其实更有兴趣的是对病理的了解，以及是就是被性在性和死亡的动力之下，那一种精神上的压迫是怎么样来形成的。那他在他的认为里边，他更愿意去看到潜意识的行为跟那个意识心态的不同是在哪里。那他提到说，人类的心理学其实是分为三个层面，一个是个体的认知，一个是个体的ID, ego, super ego, how to say it.
It's what?
The three levels. 这就是有对自我的有三种不同层面的一个认知，一个是自我中心，一个是自我标签，还有一个是内在更 更深的一个自我吧。
By the way, there's a Buddhist iceberg drawing, which I decided not to put in my next talk. It would have taken a long time to get through that. There are a lot of these kind of things. And so next up is Carl Jung,
right?
And he was once a Freud student, and he had more interest in both the conscious and the unconscious mind. He even developed the theory of collective unconscious, which refers to the structures of the conscious mind that are shared among all beings of the same species. And so this moves a little bit in a Buddhist direction. He was interested in mythology and other cultures and dreams in a different way than Freud was.
那对自我的这一些定义，其实在下一堂课我会讲以佛法的观念来做更深入的探讨。那这是我下一堂课的内容。那这里还有一位叫 Carl Jung 的这样一个，他是心理学家，他也是一位心理学家。那他就在研究意识的时候，他就谈到有意识，有潜意识，随后他还提到一个集体潜意识，就是有一群人，他们是在共同，就是同一类的人，他们所形成的意识。那这个就有一点是朝向于佛法的所讨论的范畴。
So, most psychologists, however, have not been terribly interested in describing exactly what consciousness is and how it works. Their interest lay in the treatment of illness more than the physical, metaphysical, or spiritual explanation of it.
就是可惜的是，这一些心理学家其实他们不会特别的去对意识是什么来做一个描述，他们更多的兴趣是在如何来处理这一些疾病上，无论是从生理上或者是从心理上这一些疾病。
Okay, I'm just going to move, so you don't have to look at Jung. I'm just going to move to the mind. This is what everyone's mind looks like, right? So anyway, it has fallen to more recent philosophers and most recently physicists and neuroscientists to seek a truer understanding of consciousness and how it functions. Few have agreed on definitions, both in the West and the East. There are various interpretations and definitions of consciousness. Some physicists believe that consciousness is simply a result of the physical properties of the body and nothing more.
Is the body? Right.
But the physicist David Chalmers challenged this view with what's called the hard problem. That is, how does subjectivity arise from the tissues of the brain? Right. From where and how does the felt experience of being me or you arise? So, and that's how do we have a sense of being in the world? How does that come into being from just the tissues in our body?
那就是在现在在目前有更多的心理学家和物理学家或者说是神经科学家，他们都在试图去寻求一个更完整的对意识的一个理解，或者它是怎么样来运作的。但几乎没有，他们几乎都没有达到统一的一个定义。那有些物理学家就会认为意识它只是一个单纯的物理现象，就是一个身体的物理现象。
So,
不再有另外呢，但是另外一位物理学家 David Chamber 他就挑战这样一个观念，就是提到一个所谓的 hard problem， 就是重要的问题，说这个问题是什么，就是你的主体感是怎么样从这些脑细胞里边所产生的，或者说是从哪里或是怎样你去感受到有一个我会有其他人的存在。
Okay, so others, and that's both philosophers and scientists to some extent, posed an idea of what's called panpsychism, that consciousness, mind, or soul is inherent in all things. This may have some resonance with Buddhism, but the Buddha was not interested in philosophy. He was interested in relieving suffering. So for him, consciousness and everything that supports it is one of the most important factors in our deluded and confused interactions with the world. Understand consciousness and the mind, and freedom from suffering can be achieved.
那另外一些物理学家或心理学家就提到一个 I think the Chinese term for this panpsychism 就是他是说心是普遍存在的那他这个提到说意识心心以及灵魂都是存在于所有的事物间这个其实跟佛教有一点共同点可是佛陀对哲学是没有兴趣的佛陀所注重的是如何从痛苦中得到解脱那对他而言意识或者说所有对意识的这一些了解那重要的就是来认知到我们是如何虚妄的跟我们跟这个世界的互动是虚妄的是颠倒的那可以理解到意识心是怎么样来运作的我们就可以从烦恼中得到解脱
Okay, so now we're definitely turning to specifically Buddhist understandings of consciousness and one of the most salient important points about understanding consciousness is to knowthat it is dependent on other factors. It can't stand alone. And it can't be emphasized strongly enough. Consciousness, like the self, like the sense of self, has an illusory nature.
那现在就让我们来讨论一下佛法是怎么样来看待意识这个概念。那佛陀对佛法对意识的解释不断的是强调就是所有的存在没有它的单独性都是互相依存的所谓的因缘因果都是互相依存的他不断的在强调这一点也就是说所谓的意识就是所形成的这个自我的这个观念其实是虚妄的
So when I first started studying Buddhism many years ago one of the most startling things that I learned was on a retreat withJoseph Goldstein. And he said that one of the ways that enlightenment can be described is the absence of consciousness. And actually, I checked, I was flabbergasted by this, and last week I actually had a discussion with Goshen Fosher that sort of corroborated. So the absence of consciousness in a living being did not seem to make sense. It sounds like brain death. Right. Everyone wants to achieve brain death, right? Would this mean that a fully enlightened person would have no awareness of a mountain or a river? Remember that nothing there, that's all they would see? Even if he or she were standing right next to it? That hardly makes sense. Like Qingyuan, who clearly sees that there are mountains and rivers, clarity and perception are perfectly intact, but clinging and attachment are abandoned.
当我在多年前在开始学习佛法的时候最让我感到震惊的事情就是当我在跟 Joseph Goldstein 在第一次的禅修的时候他提到说所谓的开悟就是不再有意识那我那个时候是非常听到是非常就是震惊的上个礼拜我有跟国兴法师就这个问题进行讨论那没有意识对一般人来讲就是根本不成立的就这就好像就讲脑死了一样就是一点功用都没有那这个是不是讲一个完全开悟的人他面对山河大地或者说是流水他就是一点认知都没有尽管他就是站在他的边上这对我这个就是对一般人来讲是很难了解的那就像清源禅师所说的他是清楚的知道有山有水那个清楚跟了知是完美的了知它所不存在的是没有任何的执着或者是执取
Okay, so the confusion comes from how the word consciousness is used. Sometimes it means awareness itself, a kind of non-dual, interdependent beholding or resonance with the world and everything within it. With this understanding, it's clear that enlightened people are not not less aware of what is around them. And at such a point, when you start talking about consciousness like this, that we stop using the term consciousness and we start using the terms four wisdoms. And that's what all of the different levels of consciousness transform into at various stages of enlightenment.
他的主要的困惑是来自于这个意识这个词是怎么来用的。有时候他就是说，就是所谓的明白，它是同样的意思。那所谓的明白或者了知，它其实是站在一个没有二元对立的一个开悟的人的角度来看这个世间的。那这种了知，对世间的了知是非常清楚的。 他对身边发生的一切事情都是全盘完整的了知，是不会有任何东西他所不知道的。那我们就是其实在佛法里边有不同的名相来解释这种这样的一种了知，所谓的四种智慧。So
however, most Buddhist models or frameworks, especially in the context of teaching instruction as we're learning Buddha Dharma, consciousness is considered a subset of mind, a kind of filtered or distorted awareness. Additionally, as mentioned before, consciousness is not self-existing nor permanent. So actually, Gilbert Gutierrez, one of Sherpu's Dharma heirs, likes to say that the wise return consciousness to mind and fools return mind to consciousness. In other words, the wise are not fooled by the tricks that the mind plays on ordinary sentient beings.
那在佛法的架构里面，特别是在他的对修行的指导里面，我们在解释意识的时候，它是新的一种功能，所谓的是被曲解的一种，是一种曲解的了知，曲解的对世间曲解的认识。那更进一步讲说。 意识这个东西，它并不是单独存立的，或者是永恒的。就是师父的法子Gilbert，他曾经讲过，所谓的圣人是从意识返回到真心，而凡夫则是从真心把真心变成意识。那或者说从另外一种讲法来说，就是那些圣人他不会被 心所变现的种种幻境所迷惑，而我们普通人会被迷惑。All
right, to further illustrate, we're going to look at consciousness from two points of view or two understandings of consciousness. One is the cognitive consciousness and the other is existential or the consciousness of, concerned of, around being. Existential about the existence, consciousness about existence.
Mm-hmm. 进一步我们来阐述，就是我们从两个方面来看意识。首先是所谓的认知过程，第二个是我们要看是否它的存在性。So
cognitive consciousness emphasizes the thinking mind. This is how consciousness is understood in reference to the five skandhas. Let's see, that's for the body, and oops, there's the five skandhas. I think people are probably familiar with this view. This is the way the Buddha broke down the components of what it means to be a human being, mind and body. Form represents the body. Mind is represented by sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness. Yes, go ahead, translate.
就新的认知，从意识来讲，新的认知，主要是就是那个 意识有两种，刚才提到意识有两种，首先是通过心理认知的意识，那这个意识主要是谈到我们的五蕴。那佛陀把我们所谓的人分为心理和生理两部分，那代表心理的主要是首先是我们的身体是代表心理的，那我们的心我们的身体是代表生理的，那心理的主要是由受想行识来组成。
So this diagram shows consciousness at the center of the five skandhas, in a sense emphasizing that consciousness is kind of a general holding for all the others. But now here's a second diagram, which just shows how all of the five skandhas are interrelated. This and this are the same thing, just getting a different understanding of
them. 所以我这边显示的是有两个图像，第一个图像是可以看到说整个五蕴是以对身心就是心的意识形态来作为主要的核心来阐述的。那从第二幅画则是色受想行识是互相交替并用的，就是互相互动的一个过程。
All right, so these, they're all interdependent. All are impermanent and cannot exist, as a unified, unattached entity. They all depend on one another. So recognize the emptiness, that is impermanence and lack of self nature, in one of these skandhas, and you've recognized them in all of them, and they all fall apart.
那所有的那五蕴的互相的互动其实都是互存的，它不存在一个单独的个体。那所有的五蕴的运作它是无常的，是并不是一个并不是一个整体的一个不动的一个个体。那可以对空的理解其实就是看到万事万物都是无常的，而没有一个自信，所谓的自信的存在。
So in this talk, I'm just talking about Vijnaya. It's discriminating consciousness. There are many levels and many other ways of looking at it, but just for simplicity, that's what I'm talking about. And that word Vijnaya, V-I-J-N-A-N-A, the Vijna, like in Prajna, means knowledge, and the V means to divide. So it's divided knowledge, divided perception.
那这里我们用那个梵文的 Vijna 来讨论这个分别意识。这里JNA 是讲的是知，那个 VI 意思是说分别的。
So how are these things divided? By subject and object duality. Consciousness has to be conscious of something. When a sense organ encounters a sense object at that moment,Consciousness arises simultaneously. When your eye sees a tree, eye consciousness arises. When both organ and object, or either one of them, are not present, consciousness does not arise. The sutras speak of consciousness as being nourished. Interesting way to look at it. But in the way that the body, feelings and volition can be nourished. So the body, our bodies are fed with food and drink and air. Our feelings are fed with sense data, what comes in through our eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. And our volition is fed by our actions and our intentions, our mental formations. And consciousness is fed by all of the above, as well as by views, memories, symbols, and associations, and many, many other kinds of mental activity. So consciousness, once again,deprived of nourishment, like anything else, it will wither away.
所以它的分别意识是怎么样来分别的呢？首先是主体跟客体的分别。意识必须要有一样东西来被意识到或来被了知。那所谓的感受的一个器官，当它 看到跟与诚相对的时候，他的意识就会自然而然的产生。当我们的眼睛看到树，我们的眼意识就会生成。那当器官跟现象任何一样东西不存在的时候，那我们的意识也就消失。所以当佛经里边在讲意识的时候，是讲意识是所谓的识，是被喂养的，是我们的我们的身受以及识都是要被都是所谓的是要吃东西才可以才可以得以生存。这里就谈到感受是需要有感官的数据才会产生感受。那我们的形和识都是建立在行动和意识上，所以所有的意识的形成，它都是通过知见、通过记忆、通过所有的符号标点和所有的连接来形成的。如果没有这一些的所谓的互动和相关的这一些之间相关的互动的话，那意识是不会存在的。
So looking further into how consciousness functions, we can see that consciousness is present in every facet, in every moment of our lives. It can literally hit us in the face. You'd be conscious of your face, you'd be conscious of the hit. Where it is most problematic and ironically most fixable are in the views that we hold, our take on the world, which are both conscious and unconscious. I say conscious because we are directly in touch with the content of our thoughts. If we see a dog or cat, we know to label them as a dog or cat. But the unconscious part is not necessarily a Freudian world of hidden fears and desires. What is hidden in plain sight is what we are unconscious of, and that's the form, the structure, the operation of consciousness and unconsciousness. In other words, just the fact that we're thinking. When most of us think, we don't know we're thinking.We're too busy jumping to conclusions and getting tangled up in emotions. And so how can we recognize this tendency in ourselves?
那进一步去观察意识是怎么样来运作的，我们可以看到其实意识的运作是在我们生活的方方面面。它就是在每一个层面我们都会看到意识的运作。那最大的问题或者说是最令人感觉奇异的是，一些对世间一些现象我们都有我们自己固定的见解，那这些有些是有意识的，有些是无意识的。我在说有意识的时候是因为直接的对某一些现象我们会有接触，比如说当我们看到一只狗或者一只猫的时候，我们自然而然就会去给它贴标签，说这是狗这是猫。那无意识这一部分，这并不仅仅是弗洛伊德在讲的那一种潜在的恐惧或者欲望。所谓的无意识是说我们根本就不知道有这样一个东西的存在，无论是这个是一个架构，或者是这个意识是怎么样在运作。我们大多数人都会去思考，可是我们并不知道我们在思考，我们太忙于去做一个结论，或者说是被所有的情感所困惑在里面，而从来没想到如何去认知这一些现象。
So most of us encounter the world through a myriad of filters, as the Buddhist teacher Tara Brach points out. These are, you know, sort of ways that we pigeonhole things, ways that we catalog all of these filters in our mind.So when we perceive another person that we meet as either being richer or poorer or smarter or dumber or higher or lower in status, right, or the same or a different race, ethnicity or political party, there's a function of consciousness. This is consciousness and function is functioning as we assemble and believe in the views that are in our minds.
当我们在面对这个世界的时候，其实我们都是过滤过的。 就像佛法有一位老师叫 Tara Brown， 他指出当我们在面对某一类人的时候，我们会去定义他是富的，他是穷的，他是聪明的，他是愚蠢的，或者他是社会地位高的或是低的，是这样，是同样的种族或者不同的种族，或者是同样的政治，就是有同样的政治信仰，或者有不同的政治信仰，那这所有的都是一个意识的功能。
So these filters make us feel bad or good or somewhere in between and are often the cause of destructive behavior. Understanding these filters and not being influenced by them is important if we are going to address our suffering and our distress. Even distinguishing a dog from a cat reveals the functioning of consciousness. There are an unlimited number of views that we have. One person with a certain mindset or consciousness will hear classical music and think it's wonderful, and another person will run away holding their ears. Consciousness is continually colored and filtered with our particular take on the world. We don't see the distortion. We only see the results of the distortion.
那这些过滤就使得我们对会对某一种情境会就产生好的或坏的评断，以及这一些也会成为我们一些不良行为的一种动力。那了解我们每个人内心都有这种过滤，并且不受他们的影响，这是我们来从苦难中解决，来从痛苦中解决解脱的一个很重要的方法。即使说可以从一只狗就是从即使可以分别狗和猫，这其实也是意识的一个功用。那其实如果你看意识的功用，它有一个无量的支箭在里面。同一个人，他看到当他在某一种情境之下，他听到古典音乐，他会觉得那是非常好听的。那同样另外一个人听到同样的音乐，就会把耳朵塞起来。那意识它是不断的在就是过滤和把我们所看到的世间现象过滤和添加颜色，但我们在大多数情况下是看不到这样一种扭曲的现象。这个我们看到的只是所扭曲的这样一个过程所产生的一个效果。
So in addition, consciousness cannot exist without the presence of the other four skandhas. If there are no forms, that is sights, sounds, tastes, smells, tactile sensations, or thoughts, then the mind or consciousness will have no raw sense data. If there is no raw sense data, then there will be no feelings about the data, since it doesn't exist. With no sense data, it cannot be perceived or categorized or recognized. With nothing categorized, then there can be no mental formations. Then there will be nothing to act upon, hence no intentions or volition. With nothing to act upon, there will be no action taken, no karma generated, nothing recorded, no views formed or altered. The thoughts in our mind, which are beheld by consciousness, seem real.We have a view of something which ranges anywhere from strong feelings to just a passive sighting of a flower. In all cases, we take that thought as reality itself, we deluded sentient beings.
另外我要讲的是意识的存在，它是不可能没有另外四个色受想行的存在所单独存在的。如果说没有色，也就是说没有色声香味触这样一个感受，那意识是没有它的数据来产生的。如果说没有数据的话，也就不会有，如果说没有一个感受的数据，它就不可能有感受的反应，那个意识就不会被认知或者说是存在。所以当如果说我们不去分别 这一些现象的时候，那之后的受想行识也就自然就不会连贯连续下去，业力也就不会产生。
Okay, so now we move to existential consciousness, and that's concerning how and why consciousness and a sense of self exists. Because we don't exist in one moment of time, consciousness continues through time, or so it seems. And I'm just going to summarize that there are many different schools of Buddhism which take different views to explain how it's possible that if things are changing, nothing is persisting, how can there be any such thing as the continuity of our lives? You know, how can we remember one thing from the next moment? And also in terms of rebirth, how can that possibly happen in terms of consciousness? Because when someone is reborn, they're reborn with consciousness. How does that continue? And so I had a description of a lot of different schools, but to save time, I'm just going to say that it's an issue, and that's why we talk about existential consciousness, because of that difficulty in explanation. And many different schools and philosophies have taken a shot at it, so to speak, and come up with different scenarios of how it might work.
那第二个我想讨论的是存在意识的是如何形成的。这其实是主要是讨论当我们在走过生死过程当中，就是当我们在重新轮回的时候，我们是如何去认知这个意识的存在。那有很多的学派跟那个哲学都在讨论这个形成的过程。那因为时间的原因，我今天就稍微讲一下。
Okay, ready? So one thing that is common to all schools of Buddhism is dependent origination. And it's very simple formula. When this exists, that exists. When this arises, that arises. When this ceases to exist, that ceases to exist. And if that does not come to be, this does not come to be. And so this is just a diagram here of showing how causes end up as results and rise at the same time, and then with no cause, no result. And it's just a graphic way of showing it. That's the rock bottom understanding of dependent origination.
那佛教理论普遍的一个认知是十二因缘的认知。所谓十二因缘，概括来讲，就是在这个图上已经有讲，就是此有故彼有，此生故彼生，此无故彼无，此灭故彼灭。
So you remember as I talked about how sense data caused feelings and feelings caused perception, that kind of daisy linked chain is what dependent origination is about. And I'm giving this as a to show how things move in different ways. This is a joke, this cartoon, on what we normally think of stimulus and response, right? So this is a question of, is cause and effect really what we think it should be, or does it act in the way that we think it does? Pavlov was famous for ringing a bell when he served the dog food, and after a certain amount of time, he would ring a bell and the dog would salivate. And that was some of the beginnings of the behavioral side of psychology. And here the dog in this cartoon is turning that on its head.
所以十二因缘它就主要是讲的是触受爱取有这样的一个过程。那我这边有一个卡通，就是来说明我们是怎么样来在这个循环中被受到影响。那就是有一个很有名的实验，就是对狗就是做一个训练，它在一个时间就是打铃的时候它就会要来吃，那再过一段时间它就会流下口水。那这里就是在讲，就是我们的意识其实是被这触受爱取有所控制。
Okay, so here are the 12 links. So they chart the way our desires and fears are acted upon based on ignorance. It shows the consequences of our actions, birth and death, one link following another, from time immemorial. It's, as you can see, it's quite complicated, so I'm not going to go into the details of it. Just going to show that dependent operation is dependent origination is operative, and one thing leads to another, and our views, our consciousnesses, are based on other things that preceded it.
所以这里这个图画就是十二因缘是怎么样来运作的。那我今天没有时间再具体再讲十二因缘的怎么样操作，因为非常的复杂。其实也就是说明我们这些意识的形成是通过怎样一个过程来形成的。
So this domino effect, one thing leading to another, is not written in stone. It's very important.We can interrupt this whole process. And I mentioned that consciousness has to be fed by thoughts, feelings, and actions. If you are a carpenter, let's say, then all of the actions associated with that, wood, sawing, gluing, hammering, will condition your consciousness such that you will recognize and gravitate towards carpenter-like things. Likewise, given a carpenter state of consciousness,You will be likely to engage in carpenter-like activities. Likewise, your name and form, the body and mind you have, which were conditioned by consciousness, and by what we're talking about is your habits and tendencies and views from past moments or past lives, they will in turn, your next round of consciousness. As you choose where you want to live, how you want to make a living,and who you associate with.
所以这样一个连环的效果，就是从一个现象会导致另外一个现象的产生，它并不是一个固定的模式。我们其实是可以在这个过程当中来截断它的。那我们之前提到说意识的形成，它是要被所谓的喂食，那就是要有感受，要有行为和想法的这一些来影响它。就像今天如果说你是一个木匠，那你所有的行为都是跟木头、跟锯木，还有跟那个把木头粘起来，或者说是那个打桩、打木头，这些相关的行为都会来形成你的意识形态。那同样，当你有木匠这样的一个意识形态的时候，你自然而然就会去从事木匠这个工作，这个很多的运作。那这就是我们所谓的说，名与色、声与心是如何来让我们的意识存在。同样，意识又如何来影响我们的身口意行？我们就是在这样的一个过程中，来。决定我们哪里去居住，那是从事怎么样的工作，或者跟谁有关联。
Okay, so now we move into the final part, the solutions. I mean, what good is all this analysis if we can't do anything about it?
我们现在来讨论最后一个部分，就是我们该是怎么样的一个解决方法，可以让我们从烦恼中得到解脱。
So mindfulness and understanding will help us break these links.The sutras point to the weakness between feeling and craving and attachment. Feeling, desire, and possession in this diagram. These thoughts, feelings, and emotions may arise in our minds, but we don't have to take them as reality and act on them. So the 12 links chart the course of samsara.This endless cycle of birth and rebirth, either from one life to the next or from one moment to the next. That is understood as our reduplication of both positive and negative patterns, otherwise known as karma.
所以要把十二因缘截断，就需要正念和正确的了解。所有的经典都指出 触受爱趣油，它本身它这个连接是非常 是可以被截断的，因为所有的感受、所有的想法、所有的情绪，当它在我们心中升起的时候，我们可以不认为它是一个现象，而跟着它所转。那十二因缘这样一个十二因缘所指出的是生死轮回，是一个不断的一个轮回的过程，它是在时时处处都在发生的，那并且是时时处都是在同样正面和负面的不同的一种模式下在不断的重复。那怎么样来认识到这些模式对我们的生活的影响，那如何从这里边得到解脱，这就是我们现在是要来学习的。
So, think of the patterns, some of us can recognize in our lives. Continued bad relationships or bad business deals or attachments to good relationships and good business deals, none of which will last forever. These patterns resonate in us and migrate from moment to moment, from life to life.
所以好的我们喜欢，坏的我们讨厌，这样的模式其实在我们生活中时时刻刻处处都在不断的重复。
So with mindfulness and meditative practice, we can drill down and become aware of the subtle movements of our minds. We know that feelings have a particular tone to them, pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. Stephen Batchelor, the noted Buddhist scholar, notes that we should perhaps look at feelings across a much larger and subtler array. We just usually have these three categories. So yes, it's easy to notice unpleasant things. If you drop a hammer on your foot, it's hard to ignore it. You may believe that you should not get angry about the pain, but that's no easy task.
所以只有通过正念的修行和禅修的修行，我们才可以更加清楚地知道我们心里内心一些细微的运作。那这种运作是它的表现形式会快乐、不快乐或是中性的。那有一位就是佛法的修行者 Stephen Batchelor， 他曾经说到当你的心可以更加沉淀的时候，你所觉知的范围会更加的广大和和微会更加的深，和就是对你周边的环境的了知会更加的广大和更加的具体。他这个并不是说这就是很容易你可以注意到自己不开心的感受，就当一个榔头或者说掉在你的脚下的时候，你会这不可能就是对之不采取任何的措施。但是你要知道你可以不必对这个痛而产生苦的感受或产生生气的感觉。当然这是不是一件可以容易所做到的一件事情。
Alright, how about pleasant feelings? We welcome them, but then they turn around and grab us and do not let go. It takes great presence of mind not to be attached. And neutral feelings are very important, but very hard to recognize. One commentator compared the task of noticing neutral feelings to trying to see faint tracks of some creature in the snow. Great concentration and subtlety are necessary, but the quarry, the reactive mind,is very important and certainly worth searching out and finding.
那对快乐的感受又是怎样？我们经常是会对它产生执着，就是要对快乐的感受不去执着是非常困难的。那对那些中性的感受，我们基本上是看不到的。那曾经有一位评论者就提到对。就是中性感受的觉知就像在雪里去找一个非常弱非常浅的一个痕迹，是很难去体会到，那需要很大的定力以及对现象的观察力。
Okay, and finally, I'd like to bring your attention to the work of a psychiatristwho is a Buddhist practitioner, Dr. Judson Brewer. He's a director of research at the Center for Mindfulness at the University of Massachusetts and associated also with the Yale Medical School. In his book, The Craving Mind, He shows how mindfulness can help end addiction to a number of things: smoking, alcohol, drugs, cell phones, and thinking, among other things. He and his partner pared down the model of dependent origination that we were just looking at. And of course, if we're all honest, that model of the 12 links of dependent origination is very complex, very hard to understand. And what he's shown is that this thing, and I'll go through it very briefly, actually incorporates all of the 12 links in how, in this particular case, about how addictive behavior transpires.
最后我想就是介绍一位心理学家，同时也是佛法的修行者，Dr. Joseph Brewer， 他是麻州大学正念中心的副教授，是吧？所以在他的书里面谈到，就是直取的心这本书里边，他谈到正念是可以来帮助对许多事物的addiction，就是对很多事物的上瘾，包括对抽烟、酒，还有那个毒品，还有手机，还有一些念头这些事情。那他跟他的一个合作伙伴，就是把十二因缘把它拆开来看，大家都知道那个十二因缘是非常复杂的一个过程。这幅图画上就已经显示了一些他是如何来做这方面的研究的。
So he shows by mindful awareness of the process of craving, we can his analysis aligns with contemporary behavioral science, and you know which talks about in the way that we act in many ways. There's a trigger behavior and a reward. This is sort of the leash that we put on ourselves to drag us around the world, that we're kind of enslaved to our habitual tendencies. And I think this is really quite wonderful because we're asked in Buddhist practice to really understand the 12 links, and they're quite complicated. But this is something that is simplified and relatively simple, but quite powerful. And I'll just walk us through it very quickly.
所以在这幅图画上，其实它是把十二因缘就是概括成它的现象导致的，就是导致的原因，以及所产生的现象，以及它的后导的后置的结果。那他把它简化成这三个主要的方面。那我想现在稍微解释一下。
So the chart. So the glasses on the brain, which is quite an interesting picture, right? Those represent ignorance, right? A biased view of the world, which is, and that's filtered consciousness. And that keeps the wheel spinning, perpetuating the cycle of habit formation and reinforcement. He substituted memory for birth, since it is through memory that we have a sense of self. So he uses this in his lab and with his patients every day. This is a very well functioning model that is actually helping to cure many people of their addiction.
所以这个模式其实是他现在目前一直在用的，是跟那个当代的科学所相结合的一个模式。就是在这幅画上，你可以看到在他的头上所挂的那副眼镜，其实就是一个。 代表的是无明，是一个对着世间就是扭曲的观念，因为这样的无明，所以它会产生和导致之后的许多业力的行为或者说是习惯性的行为。那如而这些行为就是变成取代记忆，再做一个重生。那如何来了解这个就是这个过程，就是他通过正念的修行来治疗的一个。 主要的方法。
So he gives a simple example of how this cycle works. So if we eat chocolate and it tastes good, in the future, when given a choice between it and some other sweet we don't like as much, we will lean towards the chocolate. We have learned to wear chocolate is good glasses. We have developed a chocolate bias, and it is subjective because it is particular to our own taste. Or in addictive behavior, each time we drink, smoke, or do some other behavior, and we do that to escape from an unpleasant experience. So what we're doing is training ourselves to repeat the same cycle of behavior over and over again without actually fixing the problem.
他给了一个很简单的例子，就是当我们吃巧克力的时候，当我们觉得它味道很好的时候，在日后如果当我们需要做一个选择的时候，是巧克力还是其他的甜点的时候，我们就会自然而然的选择巧克力。那因为我们已经戴上了巧克力是很好吃的这样一副眼镜，那同时也就培养了这种偏见，就是对巧克力的偏见或者直取，这是非常主观的，就是完全是根据我们自己的味觉来决定的。同样的，当我们在饮酒或者在吸烟或者在其他的这一些上瘾的行为里边，我们都是为了试图去逃避一种不快乐的感受，那我们就训练我们自己在重复这样的一个模式，那而没有去真正的解决问题。
So if you think about it, samsara itself, the cycle of birth and rebirth, is like a big case of addiction. Addicted to what? Likes and dislikes, our experience of the world, our sense of self.
那同样的，其实生死轮回自己就是一种上瘾的行为。那我们对什么上瘾？我们对自己爱，我们对自己所爱所憎恨的，或者说是对自己所经历的世界，我们自己对我们自己这个所谓的自我的这个感受，会产生上瘾的一种行为。
So our exploration of the conscious and unconscious mind is one of the many ways we can practice and break our samsaric addiction. And we explore our unconscious and see what's behind things that we are normally encountering. And then, look, are we mindful or mindful? So you'll see the person on the right is seeing with clarity, and the person on the left, I can't tell whether this is a man or a woman, but their mind is just stuffed with thoughts and ideas and feelings and everything. So that's a mind full of stuff, not a mindful mind.
所以对意识以及真心的理解，其实是我们修行的开始，也是我们可以从生死轮回中解脱的一个起点。那在这样的修行，我们就可以去看到我们是不是满脑子的都是妄想，还是正念，一直是保持一种正念。这幅画上就谈到是 mindful or mindful， 就是两个是不同的概念。
So we end up as we deal with life's problems, never being vexed. We take a situation and we make the best of it, like little Calvin here. And so, just like to close with a quote from Master Shunwei, the disciple of Master Hui Nong, and he said, those who see into the true mind have their senses cleansed of defilements, are moving towards Buddha wisdom, are known to be with reality in the middle path, in the ultimate truth itself. Those who see into the true mind are furnished at once with merits as numerous as the sands of the Ganges.They are able to create all kinds of things and embrace all things within themselves. And this is our task. Thank you.
最后我想以这一幅小孩子的那个动画来结束我今天的那个演讲，就是希望大家在任何一个环境中都不受环境的影响。同时就是神会禅师，就是六祖慧能的弟子，也曾经讲过这样一句话，那一些可以静住根而看到真心的 他们是朝向于佛陀的智慧，并且是与实相以及中道所相应。那这样的人，他是只有当可以与这些开悟的人，他也只有这种开悟的人才可以累积恒河沙世的所谓的资粮福报。那也可以对也可以接受和容纳所有的世间的现象，这也就是我们现在的任务。我这个今天的演讲就到此为止。